You're my thrill, how my pulse increases. I just go to pieces when I look at you, 'cause you're my thrill.
Your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away. On the bumpy road to love, still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me, no. Me.
Meeting for Thursday, December 9th, 2021. I know we have the public wants to engage and participate. There is some instructions for their participation, and they can speak in an item using Zoom. I will call on the item, and staff will begin to talk about whether if we have someone who wants to talk on the item. Please click on the raise hand icon. It's at the bottom of your screen if you'd like to speak on the item. And the clerk will then call your name and when it's your turn to speak. And then when your name is called, you will be prompted to unmute yourself. You will be given a certain amount of time. And if you pass that time, you will be muted. And we'll repeat this process for each item that we're able to. We don't have a lot of items, so fortunately, it's just a few. And with that, I would like to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll move on to roll call. So let's begin. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic
for which it stands.
One nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. And now we can do roll call.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Commissioner Massey?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Uribe?
Here.
Commissioner Ibarra? Youth Commissioner Yao?
Here.
Vice Chair Bliss? And Chair Paz?
Here.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Chair Paz, we do have a few people as attendees, so we want to check if they have public forum this time.
Yes. All right. Does anyone have any comments for items not on the agenda?
I don't see any raised hands at this time, so we will check back in at the items. Thank you.
Thank you. We do have Ms. Hoover, introduction of Marcos Martinez.
Good evening, Chair Paz and members of the Public Engagement Commission. It is so great to see you all during this hectic time of year, the joyous time of year. And it is my pleasure. My name's Kelly Hoover. I'm the Community Relations Manager for Goleta. And it is my honor and pleasure to introduce a historic person to the city of Goleta. This is our first ever Spanish engagement specialist, Marcos Martinez. He may be a familiar face to you because he's worked as a library technician at the Goleta Valley Library for the past 3 years, part-time. And we were so excited to have him expand his role at the city and take on this Spanish engagement specialist position. A little bit about Marcos. I'm going to have him obviously tell about himself, but just to give you a little bit of background, he grew up in San Diego. Actually, we grew up near each other, didn't know each other, but in this same town in San Diego. And he graduated from UCSB. And about 10 years ago, right? And he has a very sincere desire to increase our Spanish engagement, which is, I know, a high priority of the council and of the city. He's already off and running with us. We have put him to work. Hopefully his head isn't spinning, but we're already enjoying our time with him. He does all the Spanish translation for us at this point with our press releases. And we are excited to have him do videos for us and everything else that we can think of for him to do to help increase our Spanish engagement. So without further ado, Marcos, if you would share a little about yourself and what drew you to this position.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Kelly. That was awesome. So I grew up in a really small town in San Diego. The demographics are very, very similar to Goleta. And coming from an immigrant family, right? I'm a first generation student, and that has always been a challenge, you know, across the nation. But the success that I have and that my parents have had, I think is really due to the impact of a really strong and proactive local government. My city hall, where I grew up, was very engaged in the community. You know, my dad learned English at the library and my mom learned how to type at the community center. So I've seen firsthand the effects that it can have on a family and just to be a part of it is a real privilege. I consider it to be a real privilege that now I can give back to a system that gave so much to people like me. And I really think my ultimate goal is to just be a part of a community that works for one another. And I think that that is present in Goleta. I see that every day at the library. And I feel like we're all here for the same reason, to make our community better. My favorite quote that I've heard along the way is distance between organizations creates gaps in services. You know, and it's our role as public servants to really address these gaps, build bridges, and bring families and the community together. Part of this, something that I'm really excited to be a part of, is the diversity, equity, and inclusion team. And we're going to work on implementing and creating the language equity plan, because I think that shows a community that, you know, we don't just talk about being inclusive. We are, you know, we're putting... We're taking steps and we're being meaningful in what we say, and it means a lot. Yeah, I think it's hard to explain, but when you see people that want to invest in you and your family, it makes you want to invest back in the city. So again, thank you very much for this opportunity. I am really excited. I'm super excited. That is an understatement, but I am absolutely thrilled. It's a complete privilege to have this position. And I really look forward to working with you all on a much closer level. Thanks.
Welcome. I'm very excited to have you, to utilize your skill set, your background, your experience in the work that we're engaged in. So very excited. I don't know if any of the other commissioners would like to say anything, but go ahead and unmute yourself and... yes, Silvia, go ahead.
Estoy super emocionada, Marcos. I'm super excited about you being with the city now and all the plans that you just mentioned, and I'm sure more that are to come. That's exactly what we need also in this city and in our community, really. So I welcome you. And I certainly hope that we have the opportunity to meet with Kelly and you and me and whoever else wants to meet and just talk about all those plans and see how we can support your efforts too.
No, sí, muchas gracias. Igual estoy súper emocionado y lo que podamos hacer para ayudar a las familias aquí, me encantaría.
Perfecto, perfecto.
Anyone else? All right. Well, welcome once again. Oh, Beth, go ahead.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to, I wanted also just to welcome you and look forward to figuring out ways we can work together in the coming year. Because I think there's a lot to do that's obviously already been assigned to you, but it's a lot more that Public Engagement Commission may think about that we all could work on together. So congratulations. And look forward to meeting you in person.
And this is Barbara Massey, and I would like to welcome you also. I'm glad to see that we're taking this position and moving forward to really try to get something going. And welcome.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for the kind words. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. With that, we can move on to the consent calendar. Item A1 is the approval of Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes of August 19, 2021 and workshop minutes of November 4th, 2021. Do we have a motion to approve?
I move we approve the minutes for August 19th and the workshop of November 4th.
Great.
I second that.
Okay, motion and a second. I think we need a roll call for this as well.
Yes, hi everyone. I will take the roll call vote. Commissioner Massey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Ibarra? Youth Commissioner Yao?
Yep.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We can ask for public comment at this time. There's three people on the line. Does anybody have any comments to the item? All right, no one has used the raised hand icon, so we can move on.
Thank you. We will move on to item B1, which is the district mapping preparation for our January 26th meeting. I believe, Ms. Schmidt, you are leading this item.
Good evening, Chair Paz and commissioners. And I want to thank you again for your continued service in our initial district drawing process for the November 2022 district elections. As you know, since June of this year, we've been inviting the public to engage with the city to learn how to draw a map and to submit maps, draft maps, to encompass the four council districts that will become our new districts for the next 10 years for the city of Goleta. The purpose of our meeting tonight is to walk you through the remaining steps in that process and let you ask us questions and discuss it and just generally kind of get your head in the game for your meeting on January 26th. When you'll be asked to evaluate the maps that have been submitted and to develop recommendations for the City Council. And with that, I will ask Dr. Daniel Phillips, who is here from National Demographics Corporation, to take the presentation. And then both NDC and staff, including Deborah Lopez, our city clerk, and myself, are available to answer questions following the presentation.
Thank you very much, and good to be with you all this evening. I'm Daniel Phillips. I presented to you a few times already, so hopefully you're familiar with me and with our company, NDC, and in this process. So I'm going to be presenting an update on the process, on the districting process, so that you can have a sense of where we're at and where we're going. So we're specifically looking forward to the January 26th meeting. So let me explain to you what to expect in the coming months. So on January 6th, that is going to be the final deadline for map submissions from the public. So we are still accepting maps, almost exclusively. The maps are being drawn using the District R online mapping tool. But of course, there are other options as well, like paper mapping kits and the like. But almost all our submissions are through that platform. But the deadline for submissions of any type will be January 6th. Then we will use that period between January 6th and January 24th to process and post all the maps. And we are hoping that we will be, right now we list the posting date as January 24th, but we're hoping that it will actually be earlier than that. Maybe at January 19th, which is 7 days before the PEC meeting. So that will allow a week to review all the maps. And what we'll do is we'll take the maps in whatever form they were originally produced, be that District R or a paper map. And we will present each map in a standard form. And we will provide a demographic summary for each map as well. So these will be posted to the drawgoleta.org website. And then on January 26th is when you will be meeting to discuss those maps. So what we'll do at this meeting is provide some context for general themes seen in the maps and how well each map addresses the legal requirements and traditional redistricting principles, as well as neighborhoods and communities of interest, the degree to which they respect those entities. Then the commission will make a recommendation to the council, which may include general principles for map selection, such as we recommend you keep X area with Y area, or the flip side, keep those areas separate. So something like that would be a potential recommendation. You may also recommend a specific map with a context for recommendation. Like we recommend you choose map A, B, or C, and here is why. And you could also indicate maps that you believe should not be considered and why. So any or all of these are potential recommendations you can send on to the council. As a reminder, these are the rules and goals that are that this process is dependent on. And you'll see that we have federal law, state law, and other traditional principles that are optional to consider. But the mandatory considerations, the mandatory criteria, are those that come from federal law, which is block number one, and state law, block number two. And so we want to make sure that these districts are equal in population, that they follow the Federal Voting Rights Act by not doing anything that would inhibit the opportunity for people in a protected class to elect candidates of their choice, but not practice what is called racial gerrymandering, where you make race or ethnicity the only or main consideration when drawing your districts. So those are what federal law requires. Then state law requires that you consider these criteria in a rank order. So if it's not possible or practical to follow all of these, then you want to privilege the higher priority criteria. So the very highest is that the districts are contiguous, just one piece each. Number two is that they not divide neighborhoods and communities of interest, which are socioeconomic geographic areas that should be kept together. Third is that they follow easily identifiable boundaries, like perhaps the freeway or the railroad or a major street or a creek, something like that. And fourth is that the districts are compact and that they do not bypass one group of people to get to a more distant group of people. And then we have this prohibition. The district shall not favor or discriminate against a political party. So this is a totally nonpartisan process. The optional principles that you may consider include respecting continuity in office or voters' choices. The idea there is to avoid having a district where you have multiple incumbents living in it, so that you leave it to the voters to decide whether each incumbent has earned the opportunity for re-election and not force one of them to leave the council because of the way the lines are drawn. And you may also account for any future population growth, such as a new housing development that might be on the horizon, by intentionally underpopulating the district where that growth is expected, while not straying too far from the equal population standard. But I will emphasize that these optional considerations, if you were to consider them, they may not be prioritized over the federal and state law. So you only once you have ensured that the federal and state law and all those requirements have been satisfied, may you consider these other principles. So when it comes to the city's demographics, there are a few key statistics I want to point out. You can see that the city has grown slightly over the last 10 years from 29,888 to almost 33,000 now. And so the bold number is the one that is guiding our process. By state law, we have to use the census population, which is 32,690, plus any prisoners that would be reallocated to their last residential address. And so these would be people who are currently incarcerated who last lived in Goleta. So adding those people gives a final total of 32,754. So that's the number that we are being guided by. And so if you divide that by four for the four districts, the four council members, as a reminder, the mayor will not be in a district. The mayor will be elected throughout the city. So we're talking about the other four council members. And so each of those districts must contain about 8,190 people. So this, we also have citizen voting age population data that shows you the percentage of the citizen voting age population from a particular race or ethnic group. And we want to consider this for purposes of satisfying the Federal Voting Rights Act and what racial or ethnic minorities might be large enough to potentially elect a candidate of their choice and give them the best opportunity to do so. So we see that Hispanics would be the largest group besides non-Hispanic whites at 24% of the citizen voting age population. So that is the most important data when it comes to following equal population and the Federal Voting Rights Act. But we have other data that is available on the story map, which is on the drogolita.org website, where you will be able to find other demographics that might be useful for thinking about communities of interest or neighborhoods or the like. Speaking of which, there's a list of communities of interest and neighborhoods that have been formally recognized by the city council. And this establishes a record of important areas that should be kept undivided in the map drawing process to the extent practicable. This list is not necessarily exhaustive, but it is intended as a starting point, and it'll be useful as we sift through these maps to see if any of the maps divide a neighborhood or a community of interest that is on this list. The list is included in an attachment of the staff report. So next I want to talk about some preliminary emerging themes. So do want to emphasize that this is preliminary. The district drawing process is still ongoing. There's, like I said, still a month or so for people to get their maps in. But just looking at those that have been submitted so far, we've identified some themes that seem to be dominant. Now, we're only looking at maps drawn using the official population data. So these are maps that were drawn once the district R tool was updated and people had the opportunity to click the purple button to start a new drawing and use the official data. So just looking at those maps, we see four themes, and it seems, at least by my preliminary analysis, that the themes seem to involve the degree to which the districts cross Highway 101. We have one theme is minimal crossing, the second theme is moderate, and the third is significant crossing. And then lastly, we have a theme that is not related to the Great Crossing, but it's about how it is not compliant with the contiguity criterion. So I just want to briefly show some examples from each of these themes, and you'll see in parentheses the ID number, the District R ID number. These are all maps that have been created in District R from the purple drawing tool. So the first theme, again, is minimal crossing. So examples of this theme would be from, just let me explain. This is where I got these maps, the districtr.org/tag/Goleta. And you'll see that there have been, ever since the tool was updated, there have been quite a few maps that have come in. Version 1 was the first. And you can see it's from 2020 blocks. So all the maps that have that description are the ones that are using the official data. So we have several maps that have been submitted and hopefully more to come. So that first theme is minimal crossing. So this map is an example of minimal crossing, where you have two districts on the north side of the freeway and two districts on the south side of the freeway. Now, there does have to be some crossing of the Northwest District over the freeway to the south. The population numbers don't work out so that you can have a perfect 2 versus 2 and keep them completely separate along the freeway. But this does a good job of keeping the crossing minimal. And you'll see that you have kind of a quadrant pattern where you have a northwest, northeast, southwest, or southwest, southeast. And if, just in case you might be concerned about contiguity, if you zoom in here, you will see that there is a narrow connection between this part of that blue district and the rest of it. But there is a little bit more additional crossing over here on the east side. This map is similar, where you have a little bit of spillover of that northwest district across the freeway west of Stork. And but it's, you still have a pretty clear north-south divide. There is a potential issue here. If you look at the bottom right, the maximum population deviation is 6.52%. We want this number to stay under 5, so this may not be population balanced, but it's a interesting approach. The next theme is what I call moderate crossing. So you have one district that spills over a good amount, but the other three are kind of restricted to their own side of the freeway. So in this case, you have the Northwest coming over and taking much of the Elwood neighborhood. A similar thing is happening in this plan. Now, here is an example of what I call significant crossing, where you have two districts that are going over the freeway now. You have one over here and one to the east. So this might be considered more significant. And you kind of have a similar thing going on here, where you have two districts that are confined to their own side of the freeway, but the other two districts spill across. Lastly, this plan is kind of the ultimate example of significant crossing, where all four districts cross the 101. So the 101 is not used as a boundary for any of the districts. Lastly, this plan would fall under that theme of not contiguous. And that is because the state law is pretty clear that you areas that meet at a corner or a point do not qualify as being contiguous. So this district, this lighter green district doesn't pass that test. And it kind of flirts with contiguity with this district as well, although it just barely qualifies. And there's a neighborhood up here above Cathedral Oaks that is also just barely connected. So this really stretches the bounds of contiguity. So those are just a few examples of the maps that have been submitted so far and how they compare. So going back to my presentation, a final slide here is what can you do now? So once the maps are submitted, the process will move very quickly to meet election timelines, but there are things you can be doing to get ready in the meantime. So the first is to become familiar with the evaluation criteria, which is everything I talked about in this slide. And that also includes the communities of interest and neighborhoods that have been identified, which I go through in pretty good detail in, I believe, the last presentation I gave to you, as well as a presentation I gave to the council. So I encourage you to revisit that if it's not quite in your memory. And lastly, you can review the district R maps that have been posted to the public gallery and consider any additional themes you are seeing. Maybe there's themes beyond what I have picked up on, or maybe some of the maps that have been submitted more recently that I haven't had a chance to analyze bring up some options that are novel. So just remember that the catalog of maps is not complete and people have until January 6th to submit maps. So one more time, I will show you where to find that. It's on this page. And if you you will first go to the drawgoleta.org website and click on the Draw a Map tab, and then click on the District R Mapping Tool link under number 5. And it's these plans that have been posted to the public gallery. Their works in progress are not meant to be considered as final plans. So we're just looking at those that are on the public gallery. This one actually was not meant to be a full plan. That was meant to consider the county supervisorial districts, but the all these other blocks should be full four district plans, and you can click on any of these to see what they look like and see how they look. Like this one, I believe it came in after I had looked over the maps to consider the themes. So this would probably be an example of a significant crossing, but maybe there's a different way to categorize these maps that you might think is a better way to think about it. So my last slide is any questions? So thank you for your attention.
And Dr. Paz, before we move to questions, I do want to emphasize that we want to give you kind of a feel of how NDC can walk through the maps and show you the different, point out some of the different interesting differences between the maps, and then also how they comply with the Voting Rights Act. But really, it'll be up to you to make those value decisions about what maps are right for Goleta. And so he can help you point out things, but it's really going to be up to you to go to say, well, that's a good one, or that's not a good one. Anything beyond just how it compares to, I mean, how it complies with some Voting Rights Act things, it's really going to be up to you guys to share with each other what makes a map strong or what makes a map weak.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that it's this was extremely helpful in terms of just sort of laying the lay of the land in terms of what's viable, what's not. The last map, the one that was not contiguous, that kind of stood out quite a bit. The other ones seem a little more on the acceptable side in terms of, you know, the concepts that we have to hold to in the beginning. But that would sort of that walking through them, I think, is going to be helpful as we continue to kind of look at the maps and we'll look at them at the next meeting that we have. But for right now, I see Commissioner Schneider has a question. So go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, I have a question and possibly a proposal, a simple one. My question is, what do you anticipate now, given that you're looking at what's coming in, as the number of maps we're likely to be looking at in January, after January 6th?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one thing that's going to factor in is, do you want us to present the maps that were made with the estimated data? Because there were quite a few maps that were made before the District R tool was updated. And so we certainly can process and produce and present those maps. They will almost certainly all be population imbalanced. But it's not, so one thing is we could just show them all to you and say, and make it clear which ones are not population balanced, or leave out the ones that are not population balanced and just focus on the ones that have come in since the tool was updated. And so it's, I think it's up to you as far as what would be the best use of your time. And, but it's very, feasible for us to process and produce every single map that has come in.
Well, I guess I'm still on, since you're answering my question. I think I would recommend that we look at every single map that's come in, and that we take into account what came early as well. I think that what I was going to propose to my commission members was simply that I know coming into the January 26th meeting that I want to be able to examine as many of the maps as possible, get a feel for all of them, and we will have all the input, and we may even have more input at that meeting. We want to take all of that into account, but I think the best way to take it all into account is to look at everything that came in. And also for each of us to not wait until January 26th to be looking, but to do some work on our own, to look at all the ones that are finished since you have them up and begin to try to get some sense. Are there other kinds of ways? Are there other themes? What of the federal laws do we need to be thinking about or not? And the state laws as well. I would just like us all to feel comfortable coming into the January 26th meeting as embedded in the knowledge as possible. embedded in what's been given to us and what we've got to work at, because it feels like a major responsibility to recommend one map or even recommend four maps for the council to consider, unless everybody gets in on doing that work. So I know that one of the things that I would appreciate is getting notification from Christy or about when Daniel thinks he's ready for us to see them all, because if it'd be great if it was on the 19th, I guess that would be what I would say. So we would have 1 week to look at everything. And, you know, some of us may take a peek before then at these ones that are finished, but as much communication as we can get about what's happening on the demographer's end, that would be terrific. Okay, I think I've said everything that I felt I needed to say about the process going forward, so we're an informed group. Yeah.
And Chair Paz and Commissioner Schneider, that would be our plan, and also to get that information out to the public. As soon as those maps are posted, we'll have everything ready to go so that the public can know that they're there and ready to be reviewed as well.
Thank you. Before I go to Ms. Uribe, I want to ask, and then we'll go to Ms. Uribe, but I wanted to ask if I know Commissioner Ibarra is also on the line, but he's listed as an attendee, and then Ms. Massey is on the phone, so I wanted to check to see if they have any questions, so we'll queue you up after Ms. Uribe.
That Ms. Clients Rothschild has, it helped me to put all that information together, or at least to see it together in one page with the Excel sheet that you have, because it has all the different variations of the things that we could see in one page. So you can highlight one or the other, and it tells you numbers and it tells you everything. So that helped me to then go ahead and draw the map, because in order to put the numbers in the Excel sheet, I was not as good at, but at least to see the different options, that helped me a lot. Maybe that will help you, Susan.
Thank you. I'm gonna ask for any more questions or comments from commissioners, Commissioner Yao, Ms. Massey on the phone, or Mr. Ibarra. No other questions. Anyone else with any questions? Okay, I think if I can recap, the commissioners would like to see maps as soon as possible. Based on Ms. Schneider's comments, we'd like to get as much information as possible so we can digest it before the next meeting and be able to understand it as much as we possibly can. Before we gather again and get some more comments from folks. I know the public comment that was submitted to the commission also had two questions, which I'm happy to read. And the questions were around the timeline, and in particular, whether the question, I'm just going to read it verbatim. It says, when it is unclear when the public will be able to participate in the final selection of draft district maps in advance of the Public Engagement Commission's map recommendations to the mayor and council members. Will this occur on January 24, 2022, release of draft maps, quote unquote, with initial draft maps posted to the website? Or on January 26th at the Public Engagement Commission's meeting, where the commission will consider the map submitted and provide input and recommendations to the City Council? Or will this occur at some other date that I have yet to identify? And this person, let's go ahead and answer that question, then we'll go back to the other one.
Sure, I can answer that. Yes, the public meeting where that will occur will be the January 26th meeting. We are also looking at trying to provide a way that once we post the maps, that people can comment on each map to us, and then we can share those comments before the meeting so people can look at that. We're working with NBC and finding a way to do that. But the 26th for sure is when all of those maps will be finalized, and that's when you will spend a hope, you know, potentially a significant amount of time. We're thinking the meeting might go as, you know, from 6 to as late as 9:30 or to really look at all of those, and that's when the public will have opportunities to give their thoughts on each of the maps and what their favorite maps are or what their favorite features of different maps are.
Thank you. Before I forget this, that question was submitted by Mr. C. Dave Gauhan. I'm probably pronouncing his last name the wrong way. G-A-U-G-H-E-N. He also has a second question. Additionally, reference to attachment one is titled List of City of Goleta Potential Communities of Interest. Will this list or shortened version at some future point be confirmed to identify quote unquote actual communities of interest?
That's a very good question. I think I'm going to defer to Dr. Phillips about the meaning of potential communities of interest, but I think that, you know, community of interest in a way are a bit in the eye of the beholder. And so I think that the list was intended to be a list that folks could consider in your discussion. So Dr. Phillips, do you have a perspective on the word potential in those community of interest documents?
Yeah, it's the word potential is there because these are areas that we think a good case could be made that they are meaningful neighborhoods and communities of interest, but they are only confirmed as actual communities of interest by ultimately public testimony. So public testimony saying this is a place that should be kept undivided. So, or this is a place that is a meaningful neighborhood. So the law is clear. You cannot divide neighborhoods. What's unclear is what it constitutes a neighborhood. So that's kind of what has been provided to the council and the preliminary list of neighborhoods is kind of our best approximation of what the neighborhoods are. A community of interest, as the law defines it, is a area that has common social or economic interests that would benefit from being kept in one district to the extent for the purposes of its effective and fair representation. So that is, and that must be kept undivided once such a community of interest is identified. So hopefully you'll receive public testimony saying this area is a community of interest that belongs in one district and would benefit from having just one council member. And once we get, if there is a consensus that develops, then that will be in the public record and that will be evidence that it is indeed a community of interest that should not be divided, and to divide it would go against the law.
Thank you. We have one more question, Ms. Schneider.
Yes, I. This question has prompted me to ask something that I genuinely don't know the answer to. Part of our process seems very clear. The commission is going to make recommendations to the council. The council is going to make final decisions. I'm now curious about how all the engaged public is going to come to understand that every neighborhood can't have its own council member. In other words, there are so many communities of interest identified and so many neighborhoods and so many specific housing developments identified that at some point, I'm just curious now, who are going to be the people to speak to those decisions? In other words, we're going to be making some decisions. And there's virtually no way that neighborhoods are going to stay exactly together according to some one person's perception or another. So I'm just curious about who's going to be taking up the mantle and speaking on behalf of those decisions. It seems like this process that we now have through January 26th is clear, or maybe even through the city council meeting. But at some point, they're going to be disappointed people, whatever we do. And so I guess I'm asking a question about how are we thinking about communicating about this?
Chair Paz and Commissioner Schneider, you know, I think that's a really good point. You know, not everybody can have, you know, there's so many different ideas about how the map ought to be drawn, and not everybody is going to agree with the ultimate map decided. And the idea is that through a thorough vetting process, which is, you know, going through you, going through the city council, allowing public comment, people to submit comments in writing or in person, that there's this thorough vetting process, and at least people feel like they were able to be heard, even if the decision ultimately goes against them. And then once we do have a map drawn, you know, all of this will be, we have recordings and people can go back and look and see how we got to that point. But then we also have our community relations staff who will engage the public in understanding the map and then what the next steps are, how we got there, and then what the next steps are. So I think, you know, there's no way to make it exactly right, but once the map is selected, it would be our job as staff to carry that message and understanding to the community.
Chair Paz?
Yes, Commissioner Ibarra, go ahead.
Oh, good. I'm glad you can hear me. I just have a question for Mr. Filch or whoever can answer it. Of what I've been listening, the one concern besides the communication part is what would happen to these communities of interest? What could happen during the timeline that would make the communities of interest diminished? Or is it based on if with the pandemic, the way it is right now, if they started to move out of the city or started to move to other parts of the county, would that affect anything during the timeline as far as the communities of interest?
So is your question asking, is there a possibility that over the next month or two, there's going to be significant change that would change the nature of some of these communities of interest?
Yeah.
I mean, anything's possible, I guess, but it usually does the nature of a community of interest tends not to change in the course of a couple months. This is usually something that is established over many years, and an identity or a characterization or a sense of belonging or the socioeconomics of an area would be pretty well established. I mean, if there was, God forbid, some disaster that caused a bunch of people to move away, then that would be one thing, but I don't hopefully see that happening.
And Chair Paz and Commissioner Ibarra, you know, you're right, the populations are changing all the time, and there's different trends in demographics, and people move and migrate, and you know, and so that, you know, things are always changing, but this, you know, the law does establish these processes to occur every 10 years for that reason, because you do see the census numbers change, but also, you know, the communities of interest. And so as a, you know, it's set, the process is set up to reevaluate all of this every 10 years.
Okay. You answered my question. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra. The one comment I would say in terms of Commissioner Schneider's comment about involvement of individuals and whether we have would have some parts of our community not represented or not voiced, their voice not heard. I think that's what one of our charges, which is to engage the public as much as possible, try to get them involved. And that's been a challenge since from the get-go, and we continue to face that. Today, we were fortunate enough to have a new staff member who whose charge will be to engage another part of our community. So I think it will be an ongoing issue area, much like the work that was done with the census, try to get people out so that we had a fair and accurate representation of our population in our city. That was another part of the work that was done on behalf of the city to do that. So there have been a lot of pieces. I am not minimizing Ms. Schneider's comments at all, but I'm saying we can only do as much as we possibly can. And I think we will continue to look for other ways for the public to continue to engage in this process and their voices heard. So.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I wasn't suggesting that anybody wasn't doing everything they could.
I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying that's part of what
I was just thinking about going forward, how the communications operation is going to carry on. And I think we got some answers to that question already. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not suggesting that about you saying that comment. I'm saying that I think we have tried to do as much as possible, even as a commission and individual commissioners to do that. And we'll just continue to do that. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments from commissioners? All right. We have reached the end of our agenda items, unless there's a final comment by anyone. Ms. Schmidt, go ahead.
Yes, I would just like to confirm, you know, when we ask NDC to do something, we want to confirm that that's really what you want. I mean, you know, they try to be very respectful of maps being drawn by the public. But so I just want to confirm that it is the consensus of the commission that you would like to have NDC go in and try to draw those neighborhoods in that neighborhood drawing tool and bring back at that meeting a map showing those neighborhoods so that you can reference that.
Yes, I believe so. If you commissioners could raise your finger, at least the ones I could see on the screen, that would be great. Thank you so much. Yes.
That looked unanimous for ones on screen, at least. Yes. So. All right. We will definitely do that then. Thank you.
Thank you.
It would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra on the phone. And thank you, Dr. Phillips, for your presentation and your work tonight and bringing some more clarity in terms of the work, because I learned something tonight, which is really helpful. So we appreciate that. And with that, we have reached item C on our agenda, if there's any future agenda items.
Chair Paz and members of the Public Engagement Commission, I personally don't have anything for the next agenda.
Okay, thank you. I think we have our hands full for the next agenda anyways. Mm-hmm. We're really concentrating on this, and I think commissioners are gonna be doing a lot of homework from the point of release of maps to that meeting. So with that said, if there's nothing else, I would like to adjourn our meeting for this evening. One more item, Ms. Hoover, go ahead.
I was just going to say from a communications perspective, we will be doing a lot of outreach over the next few weeks to really let people know that this is their last chance to draw a map. We're going to be pushing them to draw Goleta. We're going to be... it's in the Monarch Press, an article tomorrow that will be released. And we're just going to really create the sense of urgency and point people to the tutorial map that we have. And also, if you're at the gas stations, you may see the Public Engagement Commission video. We did a version, a shortened version for the Pump Flicks. And we're also going to be promoting that video with all of you that I think turned out so well on as many platforms as we can and to the media as well.
Great, thank you. And I would encourage all the rest of the commissioners to use your own social media platform to kind of, you know, send it out. That would be really helpful. Ms. Uribe, yes.
So I was gonna offer that if at some point I can be of any use to do this kind of outreach also in helping in any way, please let me know. You have my email and I'll be more than happy to provide any support that I can.
Yep, that'd be great. Thank you, Ms. Uribe. Okay, with that, I would like to adjourn our meeting for this evening and we'll see each other in January. So happy holidays, everyone. Please enjoy. Take care.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.